The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, July 25, 2010, at the 10 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Luke 11, verses 11 to 13. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was Raising Creator Confidence.
Well, we certainly aren't getting shortchanged on warm weather this summer, as we've had a number of days in the 90s, and the forecast throughout this week is for the temperatures to remain at least in the mid-80s or higher. And so while we Midwesterners have had a high degree of heat and humidity over the past few weeks, some folks out in New York have let us know that there's been a cooling trend of a different sort. They watch a different kind of barometer. It doesn't measure humidity or heat, but it measures something they call the Consumer Confidence Index. A group called the Conference Board has put together this matrix of trying to figure out how confident we are as consumers in spending our money about now. The barometer dropped about 10 points from May to June, and now hovers at right around 52. The Conference Board says that when it hits 90, it means the economy is stable. And when it's 100 or higher, it means that there's strong growth in the economy. So we're about halfway, apparently, to being confident enough to spend our money in a way that creates a strong economy. When we spend our money, it fuels about 70% of the U.S. economic engine. And so when we're not confident, we don't spend, and we kind of hunker down in a bit of trepidation and fear. Well, in our next scripture reading, we find not an economist, but a rabbi who's walking around trying to raise people's confidence, not as consumers, but a different kind of confidence. He's focused not on the Consumer Confidence Index, but what we might call the Creator Confidence Index. He's trying to create trust, belief, confidence in God. The rabbi's name, of course, is Jesus, and he has a unique way of trying to speak and to act and to teach us ways that we can grow in our confidence in our God. May that happen even now as I share these words with you from a portion of the Gospel of Luke. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if your daughter asks for an egg, will give her a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? May God bless to our hearing and to our living this reading from God's holy word. Well, our confidence as consumers didn't just drop on its own. We got some help because those who are entrusted in maintaining our confidence acted either in very unwise or perhaps in illegal ways. Leaders in various parts of our financial sector got greedy and began to do some rather foolish things that have caused housing prices and 403k plans and all kinds of economic engines that we rely upon to disintegrate, to be weakened. And so it's no wonder that we're not very confident. We're not convinced yet that things really have been made right. Well, just as our consumer confidence can be eroded by the misdeeds, by the foolishness of those in authority, so it's also true that our Creator confidence can also be shaken when people in authority in our lives don't handle that authority well. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, lays out a very basic reminder, a charge really, for Christian parents about what their role is as parents. In chapter 6, Paul writes these words. He says, "Fathers," and I think we could also say this applies to moms as well, "don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand. and lead them in the way of the Master. So Paul doesn't talk much about other parental responsibilities, about maintaining a safe home, making sure your kids are educated. What he zeroes in on is what he sees as the central task, to be able to provide your children direction, to take them by the hand and to lead them in the way of Christ, to allow them to understand and to be opened and to be blessed by the reality of the gospel. And while that calling and that privilege is central to those who are Christian parents, the reality is that we all fall short. We all at times forget that that is our task. And sometimes we go astray and we don't act in wise ways. And sometimes that can cause a creator confidence in our kids to begin to diminish and to erode. A pastor this past week was sharing about a man he knows, a man named Jim. Jim has been a lifelong Christian. He goes to worship regularly. But he began to notice that when he was in a worship service where there seemed to be a special anointing, when God seemed to be particularly close and moving, or when he was outside in creation and was moved by its beauty, that he would have this initial attraction to open his heart to God in a deeper way. But then there would be this instinctive defensive maneuver he found going on within him. He began to pull away from God. He was frightened. He didn't find God's nearness to be inviting, but to be threatening. And this bothered Jim, so he went to his pastor and kind of shared what was going on. And the pastor listened for a while, then he said to Jim, "Tell me about your father." And Jim began to share about how his dad was a pretty harsh man, that Jim often felt unfairly punished, and punished severely. And he began to be afraid of his father, and he began to realize that same fear of his earthly father had created a residual fear of his heavenly father. And so it was no wonder that when he sensed God coming close, he wasn't quite sure he wanted that. And so he would begin to pull back. Jim was intellectually, theologically confident that God existed. He had no doubt that God is. But his heart was not confident in God's goodness and mercy and gentleness. Jim's heart was untrusting that God would behave in a way that was a blessing to him. My dad was not like Jim's dad. Many of you know that my dad passed away last October, and I've shared periodically since then some of my own reflections about my dad, connecting those reflections to my connection to my Heavenly Father, and trying to understand more how those two have been joined. My dad didn't hit us. He was a gentle man. He provided for his family. And my dad was always around. And when I was out there in May, I came across a picture that Julie gave to me. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. I'll do a little show and tell with you here this morning. It's a picture from my childhood. This is a picture in our pool in our backyard. This is me in the front, my brother Bruce, my sister Shannon. And that's my dad in a Sabbath sailboat in the pool. The guy in the water with us is named Ron. Ron Davison and his wife Marge are very good friends of my parents. In fact, they introduced my parents, and then they got married later on. Ron was the pastor who baptized me, who lived in Saskatchewan, Canada. When I got this picture and I looked at it, it immediately moved me. And it grabbed hold of me in a strange way. And I began to sort of ponder why I was reacting to this picture so strongly. And it occurred to me that this picture was kind of a snapshot, really, of the way that my dad and us as his kids kind of interacted. My dad was always in the picture, but he's also always kind of removed. You know, we're there in the water, but he's about 6 feet behind us in this sailboat. And it occurred to me that's kind of the way that I began to think about God as well. That God, in my understanding, is always in the picture. And is always there. That God provides. God is loving. God is kind. But I never really got the sense, thought about God in a way of God sort of getting his hands on me. You know, jumping into the water with me. He's sort of cherishing, delighting, wanting just to get as close to me as God could. I had this view of God sort of being out there, watching. In fact, that theology, perhaps you've heard that song that's been sung by Bette Midler and a few others, from a distance. I'm going to play a little clip from that because it kind of helps me to understand how my dad and my relationship helped to form this kind of view about God. Great song musically, but for Christians, it's lousy theology. Jesus came to let us know that God is not watching us from a distance, that the God that Jesus knew and the God that Jesus wants us to know is not only a God who creates water, but a God who gets into the water with us. That Jesus was somebody who put his hands on kids, grabbed hold of them, blessed them, love to be around them. That whenever there was a dinner invitation, he would be the first one to accept. That he would sit down with folks and drink wine and have meals with folks who were often discarded or disregarded in culture. He talked about this dad who would stand on his porch looking for his long-lost son, and when his son came home, this dad went up to him and gave him a bear hug and then threw a party for him. It was a view of God that was radical. The people in Jesus' day had a hard time understanding what he was talking about. But Jesus said, no, this is what your dad is like. God is not just your creator, the ultimate source of reality. God is also your heavenly father, your dad, who delights in you, who loves you, who cherishes you, who wants to be closer to you than you can possibly imagine. It's the kind of God that Jesus came to help us understand. He's a dad above all the rest, Jesus says. And in that scripture reading that we heard from the Gospel of Luke, he says these words. He says, if you, talking about parents, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much higher, how much elevated your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. I want to put that picture of my dad up there one more time, because the second thing that I noticed about it that really was moving was my dad's hand was reached out to us in this picture. And it kind of also was a symbol to me of the fact that I think my dad really wanted to connect. But he just didn't know how. I shared before, his dad died when he was 16. His mom was not psychologically healthy. I think he wanted to connect, but there was something fearful or something unknown about how to do that. And so he was always, I think, wanting to do that, but didn't quite know how. Well, Jesus lets us know in the scripture passage that God not only knows how to connect with us, to give us himself, but that is exactly the thing that God desires most. He says God wants to give what? The Holy Spirit. His own Spirit. God wants to give, Jesus says, His very self to those who ask Him. That God is not just wanting to give us food and families and beautiful creation. God wants most of all to give us His very essence. himself, his heart, his spirit, that God wants to offer his own being to us. That God wants to give us the greatest gift of all in giving to us his very self. It's an amazing God. As Meg said, God is not somebody who sits around watching from a distance, twiddling his thumbs. God is somebody who yearns to move into the deep recesses of our spirits. Who wants us to know him. Not just as a provider, as a protector, but as someone who delights in us as his children. And so Christ is calling us to have confidence in God, to raise our confidence that God is not just a creator, but also our loving Father. It's such a crucial thing. Because I think when we finally are able to begin to grasp even a part of that, then I would say our faith becomes alive. See, I think prior to that, faith can become merely a religious endeavor. We have certain thoughts about God. We try to do certain things for God. But when God is understood and received as the loving presence within us, then our faith becomes a daily adventure. We wake up every day wondering exactly what our Father is up to in our lives. And we find ourselves being moved, guided, sustained, challenged, to be able to grow into maturity as his children. Jeremiah spoke of the blessing of knowing God in this way. He spoke these words. He said, "Blessed are they who trust in the Lord." He doesn't say, "Blessed are they who believe in the Lord." When we receive new members in this church, we don't ask them, "Do you believe in Christ?" We say, "Do you trust in him?" See, trust involves something more than the mind. It involves the heart. And so Jeremiah says, "Blessed are they who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by a stream. It does not fear when heat comes, which it always does. It has no worries in a year of drought. The droughts will come. Spiritually, emotionally, and never fails to bear fruit." So Jeremiah is saying that trusting in God, having confidence in God's goodness and love for us as a Father, allows us to live without fear or anxiety or worry. Because we're being fed, we're being sustained by something deeper than what's on the surface. And we know that this connection with God, because it is involving the gift of God himself within us, cannot be broken, cannot be cut off. And when we have that confidence, we know that no matter what happens, no matter how long the drought, no matter how hot it might get in our lives, we know that we are being sustained by something, by someone more powerful than whatever we are facing. And so, it is God's desire for us as his Father not to live in fear or anxiety or to worry. Jesus himself said that, right? In the Sermon on the Mount, he says something about, look at the birds. Just look at the birds. God feeds them all. And you are worth much more than they. So trust. Have confidence in your Father to provide for you. You don't need to worry. Because God is with you. Well, the conference board says that when our consumer confidence is low, it affects our spending. What I want to suggest is that when we don't have confidence in God as a loving Heavenly Father who offers his very self to us, that much more than our spending gets affected. Although it is also true that our way of handling money does get affected. When we don't think God can be trusted, guess what? We do get afraid, we get anxious, we begin to try to hoard, we begin to think that money might provide the protection that God himself is not offering to us. But it affects everything. That lack of trust in God can cause us to go through life with such anxiety and fear. We think that we're living these lives here as orphans. That's all up to us. We can't let up for a moment. And we drive ourselves through our lives in ways where doubt and concern erode that well-being that God so desires for us. So having this trust is a foundational component of the Christian faith. And so Jesus invites us, you know, to remember these words he said to us in John chapter 14, I will not leave you as orphans. You have a Father who loves you more than you can begin to imagine, a God who has given you everything through Christ. And so Christ came to allow us to understand and to live in that trust. There's a diagram I want to show here that I think depicts the spiritual challenge that so many of us face. We might look at that top figure up there as a lake of blessing, a lake of God's goodness and mercy, of God's essence, that God wants to pour down into our hearts here. But these blocks begin to form within us that begin to choke off the movement and the flowing of God's Spirit within us that will allow us to live lives that are full. You know, for Jim, one of these blocks was his unforgiveness towards his father. The pastor shared that when he and Jim talked and Jim prayed to forgive his father, he found himself now freer to respond to God's invitation. Or perhaps fear might be one of those blocks. We are afraid of these economic times when our confidence is at 52.9 according to the conference board, that we're anxious, we're concerned, will things ever get better? How will I pay for my kids' college? What's going to happen to my retirement account? And when we find ourselves being grabbed and restricted by fear, we forget that Jesus says, do not be afraid, your Father provides for you. Or perhaps like me, perhaps you know God is good. That God's always in the picture, God provides, but you're not quite sure that God really takes a deeply personal, intimate view of you and wants to be close to you and share life with you in a very deep way. I think we all come here today with some degree of confidence in God that's been afflicted or constricted by our life's experience. And God wants to remove those blocks to allow us to live and to receive, as He has promised, the gift of His very self, His Holy Spirit. So today I want us to respond to Christ's invitation. He says, ask. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts, think about how your Father delights to give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So what I want us to do today is to end this time by doing just that. I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to move within us as only the Spirit can. Perhaps you can name one of those blocks that was up there. Perhaps there's someone you need to forgive. Perhaps you're aware there's a big log of fear right now in your heart. Or perhaps you're aware that you believe in God, but you want to move to a place of receiving God more deeply. If that's a desire that you sense in your heart now, I want to invite you just to join me in prayer as we invite the Spirit to minister in our midst. Let us pray. Lord, we know that you are a God who offers to us your very self. That you delight to give your own Spirit to those who ask. And so, Father, we ask this morning. We ask again. Or we ask for the first time. But we want to move beyond a belief in you to a place of deep trust, a place that involves the heart. Lord, help us to believe and to know that you are a loving God, a compassionate God, a God of mercy and kindness, a God who always acts for good. And if some place in our lives, oh God, we have been taught to be afraid by those in authority, we pray today to forgive them. To release them. We are being faithful to your command to forgive, and we pray that you would help to remove any resentment. or anger that still resides in our hearts that might choke off the movement of your Spirit. For those who are afraid today, O God, because of our economic times, we pray you would move to that place of fear. That you would speak a word of truth. That you do provide for us. That you can be counted upon. That we are not orphans. Move to those places of fear or anxiety and worry and replace them with a sense of wellness and blessing, and truth. And for those, O God, who believe in you, who love you, who know you provide for us, allow your Spirit to remove any barrier that keeps us from believing that you are a God who cherishes us, who delights in us even more than we can ever delight in our own children. That you are a God who plays with us, who rejoices with us, who sings with us, who mourns with us. A God who is with us in every possible experience of our lives. Father, our hearts do get defensive. And sometimes we don't know what to do except to ask you to help us. We thank you. You provide that help through yourself and offering to us your Spirit. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for moving in our midst, and for leading us into the way of Christ, the one in whose name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.